Tonight, I want us to look and focus on wisdom. And actually, when wisdom speaks, wisdom comes not from intellect. Wisdom comes, it's a gift from God, but you grow in wisdom, just like we grow in love. So many folks forget the fact that we're ever changing. And I hate using the word evolving or evolution, but that's what we do. We evolve as we grow. We change. And I'm talking about in changing, even to the point of, you notice, as we grow, our taste changes. Things that we used to love, they fade. Yeah, whether we loved them or not, and the older you get, the more you know, well, I still love it. I just can't eat it because it don't like me. But wisdom is a special gift. Many people think that they will gain wisdom through higher secular education or education period. No, that's knowledge. That's good for the intellect. But folks, wisdom is a special gift direct from God. And for Christians, it is imperative that we grow in wisdom. All right, how would we grow then in from the church from the beginning? From the beginning of the first church, first century church, wisdom was expected from the elders of the church, meaning the older folk within the church. That's what an elder was. It was an older individual within the church. Folks would look at and knowing that they have been through life and they've survived this long in life, and they had some wisdom to impart to the younger ones as they would come up. And the younger ones would pay attention. How would they pay attention and why would they pay attention? Because they were expected to by their parents. That's the family. The family together would teach the importance of the aging family members and respecting them and honoring them as they grow in age. We're living in a society today that throws the elderly away. When they throw the elderly away, they lose the wisdom. There's no one there to teach. And disrespect comes in. Doesn't it bother you at all when you're listening to children as they talk back and discuss to their parents or as they disrespect their parents with that tongue? And, I hear it, and I'm wanting to say something, knowing that I better keep my mouth shut because she'll grab my tongue. But you want to say, son, don't you have any respect for your parents? I'm afraid that many don't. I'm afraid we're in a society today when the only type of respect is that of when you give me what I want, then I'll be kind to you and I will show my kindness. But if you're not going to give and my want is not taken care of, then I am not going to respect you. What has happened? It could only have happened, folks, in the family, because the family unit was always established so that our children could grow as Christians in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Yes, ma'am.
We grew up with a lot better role models on TV than yeah. Kids do today. Today they have no role models.
Yeah. And the role models there, or even the role models in school or outside in any of them, are different. And I know that some folk had a very hard time with the Pope being in. I watched a lot of that, and I loved the idea of, now, if you want a little wisdom, pay attention to the excitement I saw in people that were looking to their religious leader. How long has it been since you've seen crowds like that, other than with Billy Graham? But crowds like that out of respect of their religious leader. But even though I may not see eye to eye on the doctrine, but God has his children in every Christian denomination. And he also has his children, folks, in every denomination that is not Christian. And those children will come up and come out. I've heard folks say, well, you know, if they really got saved, why would they not leave a certain denomination of Christians? Well, some do. But you and I aren't the ones who call people. When God calls us to be there, why would I not want a born-again individual in a church that had never believed in born again and this individual staying there to teach? So I leave all that up to God. It's not for me to get involved with that. But when we're dealing with the respect, like Judy was talking about, why are we permitting those type of role models to be a part of the household? Why, when we're looking at it and know that it is wrong what they're teaching or what in the song or whatever, that it is wrong, and yet we allow it to go on with our kids. Folks, a child is going to be combative against the parent. A child, it has to be brought up in a manner in which there is discipline. Now, and every child is different as far as how you discipline. But now, if we allow it to happen within our own homes, oh, why? How can we say anything about it? We blame everything on the world. But if we let the world in, again, though, every child is different. What would affect one child won't affect the other child. And I think one of the great keys is, do they come to church? How come, such as our church, I want you to think about this. I've discussed it with Debbie and several times about the children. What happens when youth, you say, well, they need teachers, they need this. Okay, you've got it. Tell me what you want. Here they are. Here's the people. Here's the ministry. Okay, here are the programs you've asked for, or the ministries you've asked for. Here they are. And they still don't come. Why? Well, they can't drive themselves. So the parents would have to drive them. So why don't the parents drive them? I don't know why. I do not understand, because, as many will say, here's my problem. I have to pick my fights with my kids. You know, and I've listened to them to the point that I just don't want to fight with them anymore about coming to church. Well, do we fight with them and argue with them about going out into the wrong groups, as we know would be wrong? I got a bunch of potheads that are smoking over here. Oh, it's okay. Junior can go over there, because he's just not going to do anything like that, and those are his friends. So what has happened? We have watched the decay of the family, the complete collapse almost. There's more divorce now than are married. And as many, again, that are just shacking up. And what do you do? Are we not in the middle of a society that does that? We're in the middle of no different society than Christ was born into with the Romans. As a matter of fact, best I recall, Romans had big eagle also representing their greatness. It was an eagle. It is not the eagle that represents the greatness of America. It's the Christ who made us that strong and gave us that and gave us the family. And the loss of the family is the loss of the church. The churches are closing right and left. Got my heart broke a while ago to have my niece call and let me know of a vote that did not even go through on an individual to be a part of the staff at their church. And it was over foolishness of man. And if it continues, the church doors are going to be closed and God's going to be the one who closes them. He said, I'm not going to put up with this forever. I will not strive with man forever. I will love him forever, but I am not going to strive. So our children are out here. They're going out. They're getting shot. They're getting into drugs. They're having babies out of wedlock. And everybody says, that's okay. That's okay. My friends, no, it isn't okay. It is not of God. It isn't okay. But we will take them and we will love them and we will help in every way that we can. But I will not say that that's okay. And the scripture says, don't say that. And God says to us, why don't you get a little wisdom? Let's look at it. When wisdom speaks, when wisdom says this, number one, make time for me. Well, I don't have time for you, Lord. I don't have time to gain in wisdom. Wisdom will come when I'm watching and or listening to the elders who have been through life and saying, this is what happens when you go this path. This is what happens when you go that path. But now we do not have the elders to speak or to tell the children. Why not? The children would love it. No, we just don't want them putting those old-fashioned ideas in their head. Folks, there's nothing old-fashioned about the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the only word that stays in fashion. I don't care how they dressed, whether robes or anything else. The fashion is in the wisdom. Psalm 90, verse 12. Teach us to make the most of our time so that we may grow in wisdom. Not in knowledge. I know people that are so smart they don't know how to walk across the street. It's not in that kind of knowledge. Knowledge is fine, like you're getting it and you're teaching it and you've got your a great job, a great position and all this. But knowledge does not equal wisdom. When you have to go up and push the button on the light so it'll change to walk across for them because they don't even know how to get to the other side. It's a lot of knowledge to drag you down. I'd rather remain a old country hick and deal with the truth of God. And people are saying, well, no, it's this just time to change. Is it? Look at what we're changing into. Now, you don't have to be very wise to know that we're not going to like the aftermath of this for our grandchildren or children, great-grandchildren, or even if we don't have any relatives like that. Again, don't forget, in that group I spoke to down at West Hardin that time, when I said, how many of you kids wished your parents had said no more, and every one of them raised their hand? That ought to tell you something. To say no to a child now is, I can't believe you never let me do anything. And then what do we come back with? Well, I guess if Ben goes over and jumps off that cliff, you're going to jump with him. Well, no, but if Pat did, I'd have probably jumped with her. But think of it that way. That was not wise. But you've got to be around wise people to receive the wisdom, correct? Okay, so I get around people that I can't relate to because I'm still not wise enough, but I want to listen to them and learn, especially from God. God will plant that wisdom and he'll give us the knowledge to know where wisdom is. He is the wisdom. Wisdom says, number two, life is a sacred trust. Now remember, the other Sunday or Wednesday, whenever it was, we were talking about God gives us this time. Okay, here's your time, Larry. Raise your family. Enjoy. Appreciate your family. Enjoy your career. Do this. But now, at one point, I'm going to call you off the street. And I'm going to tell you that that's good. You've got to raise your family. You've taken care of your family. Everything is going fine for your family. Now, it's time to stand up and step out. Deal with what is coming head on. Now, don't ever want to do that without the wisdom of God. Because as when Jesus came and he started speaking the truth, if you remember, they did everything they could to trick him. 1 Corinthians 3:10-15. But each one should be careful how he builds. That's what we have done. We've done in our families. We've had this period of time. We've focused on it. Be careful of how he builds. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Christ Jesus. That's what wisdom says. Look at the true wisdom giver, Christ Jesus. If any man builds on this foundation, now listen to it, using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw. Doesn't matter. Meaning it doesn't matter where you are in the economic social network. It doesn't matter. You can have the gold, the silver, costly stones. You can have your log cabin, wood, hay. The three little pigs love that one. Wood, hay, or straw. Think of it. Said, but if you this is your life here, and you are building it on the foundation, the key is to the foundation, not to the material you use to build it. God said, I'll give you A to Z in the direction I'll let you live in your life. Here it is. Now go build, but whatever it is that you use, whether you're rich or poor, you build on my foundation. The solid foundation is Jesus Christ. His work will be shown for what it is, because there's the day. You see the day again? That's the second coming of Christ. The day will bring it to light. His work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. Now, look at the miracle part on that again. Anything is built on the wood, hay, or straw. It's going to be tested by fire, just like gold, silver. But we're talking about the fire making it, or the wood, hay, and straw making it through the fire, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did in the fiery furnace. If the foundation is Christ, what God has allowed you to have in building in your family, in your life, in your walk on earth, whatever it is, if you build it on that foundation, when it is tested, it will survive the fire. But even listen to it again. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. Okay. Anything that you do, here's your key to what where the reward is. Anything you do on the foundation of Christ, anything you do pure love, it makes it through the flame. When you do from the anything on your building because you love, the love of Christ is in you, it's going to make it. You see, anything, any love that God touches is going to make it, because God is love. So that's the key to whether or not the reward part, or that you're going to be shown honorable in what you have done, is if you did it out of pure love. A lot of people do a lot of things just to bring attention to themselves. They may give $2 or $3 million over here or over there, as long as their name can be on something. But when you do it out of pure love, you could care less about the name that's on it. You do it because you want to share the love of Christ. That's wisdom. If it is burned up, he will suffer the loss. He himself will be saved. Now, that's just to the security of the believer again. But you and I don't have a right to change Scripture or misquote Scripture just because somebody out there doesn't believe in security of the believer. I think everybody around here knows where I stand on it. I preach it enough, don't I? But he said he himself will be saved, okay? Everything he's done is burnt, but he's saved. Okay, well, wait a minute now. If everything's burnt, where's my reward? The reward is always through Christ, folks. It is always through Christ. And down here, the boot camp waiting for what God can entrust us with when we get to heaven, I don't know how that works. But one thing I can tell you,
reward is that he's still alive.
Yep. Oh, yes, absolutely. Christ, what a reward that Christ is still lives in us. I'm going to heaven. And I'm not going to sit back and worry about all of the past things that I've done in life that weren't built on the foundation of Christ. They're gone. But what I want to do is to serve Christ for the few years that I have left, minutes or whatever they are. I want to give him my time. And I want to show him my appreciation. You want to show God your appreciation? Don't mess with the word. Don't try to say yes, but in this case, it's different. No, it's not. It's not different. Sin is sin. It's not different. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. The three little pigs would have been about a hair of your chinny chin chin. You made it right through that flame. Simply stated, when you said yes to Jesus Christ, yes, you're going to heaven. Whether or not you're being heaven bound has nothing to do with what else you do down here on earth. It has to do with who the Lord is in your life. Wisely make certain that Christ is the foundation. Wisdom says, number three, that life is more than meets the eye. Not only is life more than meets the eye, that more than meets the eye is more than you and I could ever imagine in our mind. And some of us have big imaginations. I mean, I love Star Wars. And now somebody's trying to tell me that's not a true reenactment. Yeah, well, I remember when Star Trek came on with the Captain Kirk and them talking on those little phones without wires. That'll never happen either. Fix your attention, 2 Corinthians 4:18. For we fix our attention not, on things that are seen, but on things that are unseen. What can be seen lasts only for a time, but what cannot be seen lasts for forever. Everything that we're looking at out here, which a lot of people say, look at the beauty God has given us. Yes. Look at it. And it is beautiful that God has given us. He's also told us something. One day he's going to destroy not just that beauty, but the whole earth But he tells us, don't be afraid, because a new earth is coming down. One that has not been altered by man. And I'm going to put you on it, the Lord says. But we're going to go a long time on this one first. How do I know that? Well, we still got 1,000 years to reign with Christ here on this earth, this planet, according to Scripture, for 1,000 years, and that hadn't even started yet. Wisdom. Live for eternity. Ecclesiastes 3:11. God has made everything beautiful. I told you, I knew I'd read it somewhere. Made everything beautiful for its own time. Ladies, you're beautiful, but only for a time. Gentlemen, we are handsome, but only for a time. And the more time that's involved, we just start completely breaking down. That's a fact. God has made everything beautiful for its own time. He has planted eternity. Where? In the human heart. Your spiritual human heart, meaning that heart that we call conscience, that heart that tells us, be careful, that heart that says, Larry, I got a word from you from God, so get off the cell phone. The heart, the human heart, I planted eternity. It means I dream, you dream of a better place, the promised land. But the promised land that God has given us is not on this earth, but it is with Him. But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. No, and doesn't it bother you any at all when people tell you they got the answer for all of this and everything? Wisdom will tell you never to say that. Wisdom will let us know that we can't find the answers here on earth, nor can knowledge give us that answer. Only Christ, and He gives us the answer through the wisdom. And when a society takes the wisdom and puts it in a room somewhere and locks it up, and that society is not long to last. Number five, wisdom says live with urgency. Better preach with urgency too, for those of you who preach. Ephesians 5:15-16, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Living a life, what's the key? Don't ever say that, or don't ever refuse to say, I am a Christian. When you recognize Christ in an evil and perverse land, society, Jesus is going to smile, and He's smiling at you. But the perverse land is getting a frown. And, you know, I have such a desire. I don't want anybody to go to hell. I have met some bad people, folks, over the years. I've met some that at times I wanted to go ahead and sin to their final resting place. And yet, I don't want to see anybody. That's how bad hell is. That's how bad separation from the love of God is. Don't worry about the flames. Don't worry about all that other. Well, is that part of hell? Yes. But the worst part of hell is where God isn't. No hope. Right now, it doesn't matter how much cancer I've got or whether, you know, they even find a real brain in here. I'm beginning to level to feel sort of like a scarecrow. The No, the tin man had the heart. Oh, I've let this one get out of hand too, Norm. But, you know, Scarecrow, you know, wanting his brain. Well, I met a lot of folk, and you have too, that weren't very intellectually wrapped. But they were also, those individuals, you could see the love of Christ within them. I don't have to know how to spell Jesus to accept Jesus. I don't have to understand like all the intellectual theologians will say, but you've got to know all of these languages. No, I don't. I'm having a hard enough time with Kentucky hillbilly language. What I need is to know Jesus Christ. The wisdom will be his. Peter, the apostle. Peter, out of all of them, the one that Christ had picked and was so close to, Peter was the least educated of any of them. But it wasn't the education, it was the wisdom. Well, the Pharisees, remember what they said? Where did they learn to say that? Because they're nothing but fishermen. And then another one, Pharisee says, oh no. And then the scripture says, and they took note that they had been with Jesus. Christ is the wisdom that we need in the evil times. Wisdom says, number six, live outside your comfort zone. Now I'm going to show you something in this scripture that you may not have thought of, and let's get into it here, which is 1 Corinthians 9, 26-27. Live outside your comfort zone. Therefore, this is Paul speaking, and do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. I'm not a shadow boxer. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. And so many people pick that up and say, see, Paul could have been lost. Paul was Saul, and Saul was lost. Paul was found. That's not what he's saying. And the way that I want to bring that out to you is I myself will be disqualified for the prize. I want you to compare this to Moses. Here's what he's talking about. This is the lesson we need to learn from. Genesis 31:2. This is Moses speaking. I am now 120 years old. You got to remember, Moses was not activated. He was a sleeper cell. He was not activated to God's service until he was 80 years old. 80 years old. God wakes him up, and God says, go back to Egypt and deliver my people out of bondage. At 80 years old, he goes. Now he says, I'm 120 years. 40 years later, he comes to the edge. You remember all the stories in between. He comes to the edge of the promised land. I am no longer able to lead you, he says. The Lord has said to me, you shall not cross over the Jordan. And according to the ideals that they're using on 1 Corinthians, when they said you can be lost again, that means, Moses, you've come to the end and you're hell bound because you messed up when you hit the rock instead of speaking to it like I told you to. You didn't show the love you should have. So you can't go in the promised land. But what did God do? Now listen to Deuteronomy 34, 5 and 6. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, just as the Lord had said. Listen to this. The Lord buried him. But before the Lord buried him in the valley, the scripture tells us that he took Moses back up on Mount Nebo. He went back up and he showed him the promised land. He could see it. But his journey was over. He had fulfilled his calling. To step foot on it, no. But he was allowed to see it. And they said, well, yeah, but he couldn't have been in heaven. God buried him. Now, that's a pretty fancy funeral. Burial, right? God buried him in a valley near Beth Peor in Moab. Now listen to the last part. But to this day, no one knows the exact place. You know why? Some might be worshiping him. And Jude 9, when they're talking about Satan, and when you're talking about the people on the, you know, pulling away and all of this, and said, well, what I need to do is stand toe-to-toe to Satan. I want you to listen to this one. Because this was an argument that was taking place between Michael, the archangel of God, and Satan himself, and disputing over the body of Moses. See, we don't have any background as to what that meant. But there's a great lesson to learn in this. But even the, this is Jude 9, meaning for those who are listening, there's only one chapter to Jude. And this is verse 9. But even the archangel Michael, when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, and the scholars went nuts on this one, and I found out what I normally find out when the scholars go nuts. They didn't have an answer for it. They don't know. But one thing we do know is finish the scripture. Michael did not dare to bring a slanderous accusation against him. He's talking about the devil. He wasn't even going to nail the devil. Michael wasn't. But here's what he said. The Lord rebuke you. The greatest lesson we can have is this. You and I cannot stand toe-to-toe to Satan and win. You cannot do that. But the rebuke is, I'll let Christ rebuke you. Turn him over to the Lord. We cannot win a battle. And it's sad to hear some people say, praise the Lord, I've fought another battle with Satan and I won. No, you didn't win. If there was winning on your part, it was Christ. Because we don't have that wisdom. Wisdom tells us to be with the people who are wise. And I know no one wiser than Jesus Christ. One day God breathed life into us. And we came into this world. There is a day when we will exit this world. And hopefully we'll be a little wiser. But what wisdom we don't have on the exit, we'll get on the entrance.